Good morning, Tony.
It's that time of the year when people get excited about seeing a slight change and improvement in the weather. It's called the spring equinox, which happened earlier this morning.
It certainly did at 3:06 precisely this morning, Tony.
That is precise.
It is precise, yeah. So what actually happened then?
I have no idea. I mean, did somebody flick the switch and say, we've had enough rain, we're going to get some nice weather?
Well, wouldn't it be lovely if it was that easy, Tony?
It would.
But no, we've officially had the vernal equinox, the spring equinox this morning, 3:06. And what that means is that the sun appeared to head into the northern hemisphere. So I don't know if your listeners know, but what causes the seasons is not us actually orbiting around the sun. It's the tilt of our planet. So Earth's axis is tilted by 23.5 degrees, and so obviously there are certain times of the year when the North Pole is tilted away, and sometimes it's tilted towards the sun, but the equinox is when it's actually equal, so it's neither pole is pointed towards the sun. So that means that the sun's rays are effectively perpendicular to our equator. So we get equal day and equal night. So the sun rises due east and it sets due west. And this applies no matter where you live on Earth, obviously with the exception of the North and South Poles. So we have a day and night of equal length. And it comes round so quickly, doesn't it?
Mm. It does. It does. And of course, allied to that in not so very long, I think a few days away, is the clocks going forward again.
I know. Gosh, and that comes around equally quickly too, doesn't it? And of course, the vernal equinox determines the date of Easter as well, because we celebrate the holiday the Sunday after the first full moon that occurs after the vernal equinox. That's how we set the date for Easter too.
I'm always confused by that one. I mean, Easter is Easter. And for many people, of course, it's a very serious thing to happen during the year. I think it's the most important behind Christmas, isn't it? Or is it more important than Christmas? I can't work it out. Which way is it?
I don't know, but I do like the Easter eggs.
I wasn't going to say that. I really wasn't going to say that. But yeah, Easter's not far away either. So whichever way it goes, the mornings are going to get darker for a while, but the evening's going to get very much lighter. And hopefully we should see some actually much, much brighter and more inspiring weather. But that said, we are still in March and there are still other things to see, aren't there?
Certainly is. Yeah, the sky is quite busy at the moment. We have two comets up there to enjoy, which is pretty amazing, isn't it?
Two comets.
What is a comet? Okay, so good question, Tony. Comets are objects out in space. They're made of dust, rock and ice. Effectively, they're what we call giant dirty snowballs. And they exist in the outer reaches of the solar system. And in some cases, these objects exist much, much further away from the solar system. But they are all in orbit around our star, our sun. And every now and then, some of these objects travel in close to the sun. Sometimes they will be swallowed up by the sun, but other times they will orbit around the sun, track round, and then go back out into the solar system again. Now, as they approach the sun, as I'm sure your listeners know, they heat up. So the heat of the sun, they're made of the ice, and as I say, ice, rock, dust, and the heat of the sun will melt the ice and it goes straight to a gas. It transforms into a gas. It's what we call sublimation. And that forms the coma, the cloud around the rock, which is very, very bright. And then that streams out behind in a form of a tail that can be many millions of miles long. Now that tail, quite crucially, as it can be a gas tail and a dust tail, often different colours. As it approaches the sun, which is a very interesting point, that tail always streams away from the sun. In fact, that was pretty crucial into our understanding of the solar wind, because of course our star is blasting off material all the time, and a lot of that in the form of plasma, which is an ionized gas, and that blows away from the sun over the entire surface of our star in the form of a solar wind. And that solar wind, when it hits a comet, blows the comet tail away from the sun. So when you're looking up and you can see these beautiful tails, and hopefully this one will be, they are caused by that material, the gas and the dust, streaming out behind, being blasted by the solar wind from our sun, which is pretty spectacular, isn't it? And these two comets that are up there at the moment, they are developing tails. We'll look at them one at a time.
Do they have names?
But not spectacular at the moment. They're not naked eye visibility, so you will need a pair of binoculars, or better still, a small telescope to see them.
So do they have names?
Yes, they do. So let's concentrate on the first one then. The first one is called Comet 12P Pons Brooks.
Catchy name, eh?
So catchy, that's pretty name. Memorable, isn't it? And that's all comets are named after the people that discovered them. So this is Jean-Louis Pons, French, and William Robert Brooks. And they both discovered this comet at the same time on the 12th of July, 1812. Now, it's established that it's what we call a Halley-type periodic comet. So that's where the P comes from. And periodic means that it goes periodically around the sun. So, as I said at the beginning, some orbits are smaller than others. Now, if a comet has an orbit that's less than 200 years, that's a short period comet. If its orbit is longer than 200 years, so it takes more than 200 years to go around the sun, that's called a long period comet. Now, this one is a short period one because it only takes 71 years to travel around the sun and go back out again. And the last time it visited was in 1953. We spotted it again in June 2020, so just over 3 years ago. But at that stage, it was something like 1.7 billion kilometres away. So a very, very long way away. Beyond,
it's like waiting for a bus, isn't it?
It is. And they all come at once, don't they? Which is probably why we have two. So, but it is developing. It's developing a nice tail, Tony, at the moment. Yeah. But as I say, it's not visible yet. But if you've got a pair of binoculars, take a look. You need to be looking in the Pisces constellation because it's tracking southeast. Now, for any listeners who don't know what the Pisces constellation looks like, it's quite an obscure one. Just Google. There are star maps on Google and it'll show you directly where that comet is, and it won't be difficult to find. And then just scan with a pair of binoculars and you'll see it looks like a fuzzy star with a hint of a tail behind it. Now, we've got a bit of a problem in that on the 18th, of March, which was, well, that was a couple of days ago, wasn't it? The moon was moving through that area, a thin waxing crescent, but that's going to be out of the way. So by the 26th of March, we'll have nice dark skies. That really will help you to see it. So then look at your star map. As I say, it will show you on Google exactly where it is. Track that with your binoculars and you'll be able to find it. And the exciting thing, of course, is on the 9th of April, it's only going to be about 5 degrees away from Jupiter. So that's about half the width of your clenched fist held at arm's length. So that's pretty close. So if you scan where Jupiter is, and you'll see Jupiter because it's so bright, you're bound to find the comet there just with a pair of binoculars. Brilliant.
Yeah. So when's the second one? Oh, that's a long way away, is it?
No. The second one's up there as well. Which is
where are we going to spot that?
Actually, Tony, you know, if there were a lot of comets up there all the time, really, but you need these, you know, hugely complicated star maps that show you everything up there, and then you have to scan everywhere. But they're up there. There's lots of lumps of rock and ice travelling around into the solar system.
So with the right telescope or binoculars, you're going to see all sorts of things that are going on and think, wow, that's a bit busy up there.
It is. So this second one then, Tony, is called Comet C2021 S3 Pan Stars. Now that's
even more catchy, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? But that's because that was found with a survey telescope, the Pan Stars telescope.
All right.
Off the top of my head, I can't recall what that acronym is for, Tony, but it's a large survey telescope that's scanning the entire sky, and that discovered it. And it's the comet itself is currently in Aquila, the Eagle. It's about 190 odd million kilometers away from our planet at the moment, which is pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it is visible with a pair of binoculars. And at the end of the month, it's going to be crossing something called Colander 399, or the coat hanger. And that's because it's a cluster of stars that actually looks like an upside down coat hanger. And the comet's going to be zipping through there on the 29th and 30th of March. So again, if you don't know where to find the coat hanger, Google it. It'll show you where it is. But it's not too far away from the constellation of Vulpecula. So look that up and you will be able to find it.
Yeah, it's just one of the many things to be seen in the sky, actually, at the moment. The other thing that I've just noticed, because we talk about looking at planets, which is one of the things that many people try and do apart from looking at the stars, planets. March the 24th, which, of course, is this coming Sunday, apparently, according to what I'm looking at, Mercury is at the greatest distance from the sun.
Yes. Yes, it is. And it's going to be, it's a good time to look, actually. Well spotted, Tony. It's a good time to look about that time, because it's not often that we can see the innermost planet. And where you need to be looking is, again, towards the constellation of Pisces. So you're looking west, but quite low down in the sky, because it's only about 10 degrees above the horizon, which is actually quite low. And you need to be looking west 40 minutes after sunset, and then you will see that tiny point of light, which is the planet Mercury. So it's an evening planet, and it's a good time. It's a good time to be looking. It's a good time of year because what we call the ecliptic plane is quite steep against the western horizon. So that means that the sun, the moon and the planets, they all stay on or near the ecliptic, and that keeps a nice steep angle. So Mercury is above the horizon at a much better altitude. I mean, 10 degrees is, it's not that high, but for Mercury it is. So it's, now is the time to be looking. So a couple of hours after the sunset.
It's the 24th of March. That one is worth looking at. Yeah,
actually, Mercury was slammed by some X-ray radiation just recently.
Yeah.
There was a gigantic solar flare released from the sun on the 10th of March. This flare, Tony, was about 40 times wider than planet Earth. It's enormous. And it launched a sizable coronal mass ejection, which is an enormous amount of highly energized material from the surface of the sun. And it did so on the far side. And that slammed into Mercury. So potentially triggering X-ray auroras, but of course X-ray auroras are invisible. But yes, it did get slammed, and it's quite often slammed by material from the sun because it's so close to our home star.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that never surprises me now with space is just how big things are. And put them in, it's four times wider than Earth. I mean
40 times.
You're into the realms of the, the unimaginable, I think, is really, trying to work out in your head that sort of size and putting it into a distance that is, it becomes a little spot in the distance. Gives you some idea of the enormity of the whole thing.
Yes, it does.
And what makes me smile about all of that is, however big it is, somebody's seen it and put a name on it.
I know, for a very, very long time as well. Many thousands of years, Tony, we've been looking up.
Yeah.
I know. And it's funny, isn't it? Because what were we making of that all those years ago? Thousands of years ago.
Who knows?
We did have darker skies. We definitely had darker skies, that's for sure.
Quite possibly.
It's all our towns and our cities creating this artificial light that we call sky glow.
Yeah.
It's blasting upward. That's hiding what is out there to be seen, which is very sad. I wish that we could turn all the street lighting off for just one night a year on the entire planet, and then everyone step outside and look up, and it on a clear, let's hope there's no clouds, what a fabulous sight it would be.
There is, I thought there was one night when the electrics were supposed to be turned off, but of course, nobody forces it, of course.
No, but there is. Earth Day or something, I think it might be.
Yeah, something along those lines. But yes, it would be wonderful to get a much, much clearer picture of what really is out there. Speaking of what's out there, things to come, and I know we're going to talk about this one probably a little more next month. It's the Lyrids meteor shower. That takes place next month, doesn't it?
Yes.
So shooting stars is what I see.
Exactly. We're going to be seeing a lot more shooting stars. It's one of the showers of the year. And that's when our planet's going to be passing through a lot of dense material left over from a comet. All that dust and dirt slamming into the atmosphere burns up, it vaporizes, and it causes shooting stars. But when there's a lot more material there from the tail of the comet, you can expect to see a lot more shooting stars because a lot more material is burning up in the atmosphere. That's something to look forward to.
It's talking about comets and asteroids, and it says the month brings the Lyrid meteor shower, which occurs as Earth passes through, you'll like this, through the material left behind the comet C/1861G1 Thatcher.
Yes, that's
wasn't
right.
Mrs. Thatcher, was it?
No.
So we'll talk about that one next month, I think.
Yes.
Also, something slightly, it's very exciting, really, because there's lots and lots of exploration and lots and lots. I know you're one of those that thinks we should perhaps explore a little more on Earth before we go look and see what is really out there. But man is looking to go back to the moon, also looking slightly further afield to Mars. But there's some space exploration going on with the European Space Agency's JUICE mission, which is JUICE actually is an acronym. It's not nothing to do with your orange juice. It's Jupiter Icy Moons Explorer.
Yes, and actually, Tony, I think this is a really exciting mission. I love these missions. I really do. Right the way back to the Voyager missions of the 70s, the Cassini-Huygens missions. These spacecraft that are going right out into the solar system, I find that so exciting because we are seeing things that in many cases we've not seen before. Mm. And I think that's always a good thing, to be expanding our mind and to learn what is out there. And this one is going to make detailed observations of the giant gas planet Jupiter and its three of the large ocean-bearing moons, Ganymede, Callisto and Europa. All three of those moons are suspected, or indeed we know, have oceans underneath their crust, and it's going to be so exciting to see what those look like now, to get up close to those. It'd be fantastic.
Yeah, well, that voyage is scheduled to last for 8 years.
Yes.
And starts on the 13th of April, and we'll look a little bit more at that one, I think, in when we get to next month, I think. But there's an awful lot to look at for now in the night sky, and of course those nights are going to get, well, in terms of darkness, are going to get shorter, so you're going to need to sort of find even more remote places to get the real darkness, I think.
We are, and of course us astronomers, we like the winter for the night sky. That's about the only thing, but we love the dark skies of winter, so it's quite sad to be losing those and to be losing the winter constellations, in particular my favorite Orion. They're going. And we welcome the summer constellations. But of course, there's bonuses. I mean, the evening sky is lighter, but the views of the centre of the Milky Way are stunning. So it gets better. There's lots to be enjoying up there.
Yeah, of course, having been winter, you're going to have to take now moving into spring, you're going to probably be able to take off the windscreen wiper from your telescope because it's been so wet.
Yes, definitely. Definitely take the dew shield off, as we call it, yes.
That's the one. Jane, it's been good to catch up, as always. And, I'm looking forward to next month. I'm going to find out a little bit more about this ESA, the European Space Agency's JUICE mission. For now, Jane Green, thank you for talking to us.
Pleasure as always, Tony.